Welcome back, everybody and folks, to the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your your general of destruction, Sean, and across the way, probably living a more peaceful life, Danny. How are you?
I don't know. I always just kind of feel like I'm more chaotic neutral. Like, I'm not really on anybody's side. I'm just there to, like, cause as much destruction for my own entertainment, not necessarily to see anybody win.
Yeah. Makes sense. Definitely makes sense.
But I'm doing pretty good, except I am suffering from what I guess folks would call a first world problem.
Danny, I have so many first world problems to go over today. Let's start it.
So, many months ago, I don't even remember how long ago, it feels like it's like too long ago that we should still be talking about, that I should still be worried about this as an issue, but I funded a game on Kickstarter, and I forwarded the information to you, and you're like, yeah, this looks pretty cool, and you as well backed it. You know, it reached its goal.
I did back this thing. I don't even remember. Sometimes it's like a secret birthday present to myself. I buy something, I completely forget about it, and like 3 to 4 months later, I have a package, and I'm super confused of what's going on and why somebody sent me a package, and then I open it up, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's that thing I did.
Right. I guess that's the beauty of Kickstarter, is that like enough time has passed that you forget that you did it, so it's a new exciting thing when you get the item that you backed.
Yes.
But so the guy that was doing the Kickstarter was talking about how he, you know, basically sold so many games that he hired an outside company to do the shipping for him. And I was getting, you know, we were getting emails about shipping updates. And originally it was supposed to ship like in April or May, but they sent out a survey asking us if we wanted a little game piece shaped like the signature character from the game, Unipegasaurus. So it's basically a unicorn, Pegasus, and Brontosaurus all mixed into one fun-fueled orgy result. Mm-hmm. And so they said, you know, yeah, we're not going to charge you anything extra. It'll be just an extra Kickstarter bonus. But the only downfall, it will be that it'll push back shipping by a month or two. Like, you might not get it until June or July. So come June, and the guy's like, yeah, everything's ready. It just, the problem is they got held up in customs, so we're waiting for that now. And now they ended up getting shipped. They're supposed to come through to the East Coast, but they shipped to the West Coast. So now we have to do extra shipping to get them shipped from the East Coast to the West Coast. So then we can individually, like, address all the packages and have them all mailed out.
Yeah.
So when you were out here for 4th of July, I got another email saying you should be getting emails from the shipping company any day now. And I checked, you know, mine, and I was like, nope, no such thing. And you looked at yours, and you're like, hey, I got an email from a guy that says he's shipping me a thing. And I'm like, you son of a bitch, I funded it first.
Danny, it just goes to show nobody likes you. I think you just need to accept this.
Oh, I've already accepted it, but this has nothing to do with like. I mean, my money spends the same as anybody else's. So finally, on July 24th, I got an email from the dude saying, your item has shipped. And so I wait a couple days to check the tracking number, and it's still, the post office, their status is waiting to pick up. And so finally, on August 1st, I get an email. I check the tracking, I mean, and it says that it's been picked up, and then it's at the hub in New York. And then it had been moved to the distribution center in New Jersey. So I'm like, all right, cool. So then I check it a couple days later. It's in L.A. on the 4th, Friday. So then check on Monday in the morning, and it's on its way to Riverside. I'm thinking, awesome. Like, I can get it on Tuesday. We can, you know, look at it real quick, and maybe we can even discuss the game for this podcast. You know, I'm at work, and I check the status to see if it had made it to the post office and got put on a truck. No, it's in Washington, D.C. now.
Really? Nice.
Yes. So it went from New York to New Jersey to L.A. to Washington, D.C. apparently on it, I guess the phrase on its way to Riverside, California is vague enough that it could have ended up anywhere in the world and still technically been on its way to Riverside.
Yeah.
So it was there for 2 days, and then last night there was a status update that it was in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then this morning it was updated again that it is now still or again on its way to Riverside, California. So I don't know what that means, if it's going to end up in another country, somewhere else in the states. It's a mystery until it gets scanned again. It's kind of fun to watch the package have more travels through the country than I have.
You know, I totally get your frustration with things, and I think and I got thrown through a loop too. So on order, I have an Amy Reader one of a kind commission that was sent to me, that was supposed to be sent to me last week. And so USPS sent it from New York to Florida. Then it was going back to New Jersey for some reason. And now, looking at the tracking right now, it says it got delivered to the proper place in New Jersey. So I have no idea where my commission is, because it's not here. I didn't realize I moved to New Jersey already.
I mean, I thought, you know, Toledo was bad enough, but now you gotta put up with people that actually live in Jersey.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. I mean, I'm hoping, like, another person ordered a Red Sonja and she sent it that way on accident. Maybe.
Well, I mean, she does have her Rocket Girl comic coming out, and far more important things than your shitty little $10 sketch or whatever it was that she just busted out real quick. And when she had her commission fire sale that you jumped on.
Do I need a reminder that she could get shoulder checked at any time?
Well, she's already been shoulder checked and has, you know, obviously recovered from it. Or
this is her grand scheme on revenge. I should have seen this.
She played the long con on you. She's like, it's been like a few years, but this guy bit on my commission request. I got him.
I'm not even mad anymore. This is all about revenge. Like, I'm honored. I made such an impact on her life that she had to come with a grand scheme of a revenge topic to come get back at me.
You shoulder checked her so hard that she turned into the Kaiser Sose of the art world.
I feel like, and then like the Buzz Commission is just part of it. He's like best friends with Amy, and I'm just like, I'm in that circle of like ideas, or the mystery is solved on all the bad things in my artist. Like, somebody went and stole those items off the Delta plane, so Delta couldn't find them. I'm just like doing the circle thing of like grinning and like, I solved the mystery of all my problems.
it all comes back to Amy Reader, master revenge artist. I think it's gonna show up on Reddit/pro revenge. So, I was at a convention as an artist, and this dude was, like, shamelessly flirting with me. I mean, it was super cringeworthy. And as we were leaving, he just, like, walked into me super hard because he was a douche. And he doesn't think I remember, but I remembered.
I always remember.
Here's how I got my revenge.
Oh, man. Good times, man. Good times.
It is. I mean, I didn't even think she finished it, because she didn't, like, she posted all her other work on her Facebook page. She just didn't post that one.
Yeah, no, she did not post it.
So it probably looks like shit, and it's in New Jersey, so maybe you didn't even want it.
Maybe. I mean, I guess if it's so bad it went to New Jersey, maybe I don't need it in my life.
Well, I mean, I guess you could just do what everybody else does and buy the art book that she's putting your commission in, and then you can look at it that way.
Maybe.
But, you know, even with it being in New Jersey, at least she's treating you far better than Buzz has, because as far as you know, it's like Schrodinger's cat. It's like Schrodinger's commission. It was delivered, and it was shipped and delivered, so it must be finished, right?
Yep.
But not until you open the box. Well, you know. But since you can't open the box, you'll never know.
I'll never know. Oh, well. I mean, it's the story of my life, I guess. So, I mean, I can't be angry.
Story of Sean's life.
You just don't do it as good as Nick did.
No, nobody does it as good as Nick did. But, you know.
I should have had that recorded, man. Like, I know.
When we get high tech, like some of the other podcasts, and we get, like, the drop machine, we'll have to, like, call up Nick and have him, like, redo that song. But yeah. I don't even know if Nick can do it as good as Nick anymore, because he's probably hit puberty since then.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't know.
He's not, like, a young lad of, like, 14 or 15. He's a grown-ass man now. Which begs the question, why were you having a 14 or 15-year-old child serenading you?
Have you met Nick? No, you haven't.
Lexi, I have.
Oh, man. Oh. So, I also got news that Delta cannot find my bag. So, we know what happened to that. Either somebody stole that shit or somebody threw it away.
Probably the second one. I mean, you know, they probably don't pay their plane cleaning staff enough to care. They're like, well, if you don't want it, I don't want it. Trash.
Yeah. So I got that news. So plenty of sadness, sad terrain on this part of the state.
That's what you get for, you know, respecting and enjoying somebody's art and their work. You should just be like everybody else that goes to conventions and just talk to them and then walk away and not buy anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I should do.
So basically, did Delta tell you you're asked out, or are they going to, yep, like, throw you a couple bucks?
No, they're closing the case. They said we're sorry. We couldn't find it after a month.
They said, we're sorry, you fucked up, your shit's gone?
They said, sorry, we're going to take your stuff because it was so cool.
I mean, that Shimonetta one was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that makes me sad, along with the fact that you had one of my sleeves for Prince. Those things aren't cheap, man.
I like it. I like how you feel robbed.
I had stuff in there too, man. I feel your pain because we both suffered a major loss. I'm out like what, $2.50, maybe even $4.
Yeah,
I'm never getting that money back again.
Yeah,
it's gone. So, how's the life as a homeowner, sir?
So, I know in the beginning of the show, I definitely talked about being a general at war, and I discovered that there is a hornet nest in the old fire pit in the middle of my backyard, which makes it a little dicey to mow the lawn and edge, because they get a little pissy when you get close. So, I've been trying to fight the battle and getting them off, and it's been an interesting chemical warfare battle with different poisons and whatnot. And so basically at night I'd like spray it. I use like a shovel to undig some of it, and I literally dumped 2 cans of poison on this nest, and it literally like did not work at all. And I was getting like so frustrated, because obviously like you start spraying and ruffling it up, and then you have to run like a little girl to inside the house while they calm down so you don't get attacked. So last night I decided to go a little Vietnam style, and I fucking lit the fire pit on fire. So I took my little charcoal grill, filled it up with charcoal, got it lit and going. So I let it sit for about 10 minutes to where, you know, all the charcoal caught fire instead, so it didn't die down real quick. And then in the fire pit, there's like a bunch of like dead leaves and stuff like that. So got the lighter fluid on some of that. Put like 6 small logs in there. Put that lighter fluid on it, and then I literally just dumped the charcoal right on top of the ground nest, and basically like the whole fire pit just like engulfed in a kind of like a small flame. It wasn't as badass as I thought it was going to be, but basically that thing like was nice and lit, and then I basically just took the shovel and started digging under and into the ground and rustling the nest into the fire, and nothing flew away from the place. And when I went down there this morning to check, nothing escaped and nothing lived from the fire.
It was a war of attrition, huh?
Yeah, I think I just finally was knocking them off one by one, and finally they just couldn't keep up. So it's nice to actually have my fire pit back so I could actually start building it versus sitting on my deck wondering what life could be with a fire pit in my life.
I'm just surprised it took you that long to do the math of nest in fire pit and fire to use to kill the nest. I mean, as you were telling me the story, my first thought in my head was, you know, not that too many situations where this is an appropriate recommendation, but there is a recipe in the Anarchist Cookbook on how to make your own napalm. That would have been fun.
That is true. I thought about it for a while, and I probably should have just done that at the start, but, you know, I just figured, what if they escaped, like, the flames, and, like, they attacked me, and, like, and I was, like, at Home Depot looking at the poison, and it's, like, kills on contact, and I was just like, you know, I'd rather just them, like, get hit and die versus them catch on fire, and then I got flame hornets after me.
But that's why you have somebody film it when you light it on fire, because then the flame hornets go on the internet and you become YouTube famous.
Yeah.
And then we could use that to promote the podcast, dude. You're being selfish, man. That's one for the team you should have taken.
Yeah, I know. I should have, but, you know, it happens.
Or even if they didn't fly towards you, it would have been even awesome if they just flew off in a random direction and you just started all those trees next to your house on fire or something like that. That would have been fun, too. Burn down half your neighborhood with fire wasp weapons.
Yeah, I mean, it probably would have been cooler, and I wish I would have got the fire to at least look a little bit more badass. Like, it was not... I didn't realize, like, how much wood you need for this fire pit to, like, really, like, get crazy good, like a good fire, but it's definitely going to take a lot more logs than what I put in there.
So, not only was it a benefit of killing off all the wasps, but it was a lesson learned that your fire pit is much larger than you anticipated and you need to basically throw a pallet in there.
Yeah, dude, like, I'm, like, digging up, like, the mass grave this morning, and, like, there's just all sorts of, like, screws, hammers, weird metal pieces. Like, whoever owned this house before just threw whatever they wanted in that fire pit. I mean, I'm not surprised. I would have not been surprised if I saw, like, child remains or something in the fire pit with how much shit I was finding in there.
I was going to say, like, you know, as you were digging through, like, you said that you found, you know, hammers and nails and femur bone, and I was just waiting for you to just throw that out there nonchalantly. Because it's no big deal, right? Everyone has femur bones in their fire pit.
I don't know who these people were before me, but I don't want to ever meet them.
Did you change the locks?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Week one. I am not a fool. It's funny, the top recommendations when you buy a house, the number one thing that they say that you need to do when you first move in a house is to change the locks.
And then number two is to go to the post office and get the moving to a new neighborhood kit, because then you get really cool coupons for places.
That would have been good to do.
You still can. Gotcha. You usually just have them lying around anyway, so I don't think you actually have to move. It's just a honor, at least the post office is out here. It's like on the honor system. You can just walk in and grab one and walk out.
It's like, here are some coupons that expired from 2013 or something.
Man, that's why I'm glad I rent, because then I can call maintenance and they can come and deal with the poisoning of things and possibly getting stung as I'm sitting inside in the air conditioning. Dude's out and back running around, wiping off all the wasps. And see, that's much more easy and convenient than having to actually worry about them coming after me and ending my life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you.
So, I decided to try one of the beers in my fridge because my beer shelf is full again and I have to go pick up another beer from Bottle Logic on Saturday.
Oh, so, such a hard life.
I know. It's pretty hard to keep up when I'm scheduled to buy a new beer every month on top of the beers that I actually want to try from different places. Not that I don't want to try the ones from Bottle Logic, it's just it cuts down on my options, or I have to work on drinking more.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it's called a Sun Up Stout by Booze Brothers Brewing in Vista, California. And there's a little write-up on the back that's actually clever and informative. It says, you wake up in the morning following a long night of plowing the fields. All you want is a cup of joe and a hair of the dog. Sun Up Stout destroys both of those pesky birds with one stone. Within its depths, we'll find velvety malts, a potent shot of, I guess I'm still alive, and rich layers of Madagascar bourbon vanilla bean, which together are sure to thoroughly sedate, caffeinate, and possibly break you. Remember, the early bird gets the worm, so when you need to be the go-getter, stop hitting that snooze button, fix yourself some flapjacks, and enjoy a Sun Up Stout. And they follow through on the promise. It tastes like coffee, and there's hints of vanilla. It's pretty good, actually. It's only about 8.5%, so it's not super boozy and strong, but I guess it's because it's not barrel-aged, which is rare to find in a stout with strong flavor. Usually they throw it in a bourbon barrel and gets it up to like 14% alcohol.
Nice. That's not that doesn't sound too bad at all.
Yeah, the logo's rooster crowing in a suit with the sun kind of over its head. It's very artsy. And I didn't notice. I just grabbed a glass that I thought would work for it, and I ended up grabbing the glass for a brewery in North Dakota whose logo is a sun as well. It was meant to be.
Exactly. No. And I've decided to finally go back and try some of my beer that I took from California. Well, I'm not trying it. You know, I took a lot of my faves, and Carl Strauss Red Trolley Ale, man, I do miss drinking this on tap out there. It's definitely been something that I've not been able to find out here.
No, that's the problem with drinking local beer, is it tends to stay semi-local.
Yeah. So, oh, man. It's just funny because I'm reading Amy's email back, because she's trying to figure out what the hell happened and why stuff got jacked up. But I am getting free stuff, so maybe she wasn't as revengeful as we thought.
Maybe the free stuff is just like a picture of her flipping you the bird.
You know what?
You thought I forgot, didn't you?
At least it'll be one of a kind.
Exactly. You should get it CGC'd and framed. And then put it up on eBay, like a normal American would do.
Nice. Now, the wonderful thing about the house, Danny, that I definitely want to add is, so the previous owners left me a fridge, and I have moved said fridge to my living room. I now have an officially giant beer fridge in my living room.
So it's like a full-size standard refrigerator?
Yeah.
With the freezer attached as well?
Yeah. So there's ice cream in the freezer and beer in the fridge.
Dude, you just need to get that Simpsons toilet seat and you're set, dude. The recliner with the toilet on it, you never have to leave the room.
Yeah.
You know, you can even throw some Sailor and ice in the freezer and some Coke in the fridge, and you can have Sailor and Coke without having to get up either.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely super nice.
That sounds pretty pretty nice of them to leave you a refrigerator.
Yeah, I mean, well, they left me a washer with no dryer, so I got to figure out what the hell. I got to get rid of that thing since I ended up just buying a new washer and dryer. Just kind of one of the weird oddball situations that I found myself in.
Well, I mean, it could have been worse because there's a lot of stories where, you know, people sell their house and they take things and punch holes in walls as they're walking out the door. So for you to come in and find extra stuff, I guess it could, like I said, it could have been much, much worse.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been so, so much worse. So did you do anything else this weekend?
Actually, yes. I met up with some of our friends at this pizza place / brewery in Corona, California. As a Lamppost Pizza, and attached to it is a brewery called Main Street Brewing. They were open a few years ago, but they had to close down due to eminent domain from them adding toll lanes onto the 91 mm-hmm. and 15 freeways right there. So, you know, they were closed for a little while trying to work on a location and working with the state and the construction people about where the new location was going to be. And I guess whatever the deal was, it wasn't working for them. So they ended up occupying the location of a Coco's when those all closed down. And so my parents, you know, they go there a lot. They know the owner, they know one of the managers. Funny story, you know, we were sitting there, we were eating, and I was telling my dad we're there, and I asked him who he knew over text, and back to me, and I didn't want to interrupt our meal, so we were kind of hanging out talking. And then as we were wrapping up, one of the guys came to take our plates and stuff. I asked him, I was like, hey, is this person here, or is this or this person? He's like, oh no, the owner is not here, but the Jessica, the manager, she's over there, but she's, you know. I was like, oh no, I just was wondering. And he went from almost annoyed by everybody, well, annoyed by us as he was with everybody else in the restaurant, to oh yeah, hey, my name's, you know, this, if you need anything, just let me know. Like, it was pretty funny. He apparently I should have name dropped earlier.
What'd you go? I'm Danny from We Are Adult Show.
Actually, you know what, that's something that I don't know about you, but that's something I really need to work on. I've gone to a few places and I've had the stickers, and I don't know. I don't see anybody here that I think would like the show, and I don't want to bother them because they're eating or whatever. The closest thing I've come to approaching people to give them stickers and stuff is the last time I was at Bottle Logic. As I was walking to my car, I stuck some stickers under cars' windshield wipers as I was walking past them.
I bet those got thrown to the floor real quick.
Probably, but I'm sure, you know, some of the stickers that we actually physically hand to people have the same fate as well. But at least this was like a sticker with a picture of a beer hop or a marijuana leaf or an artichoke, depending on whom you ask. But you know, when you are out here and we have a free meal time, I'm gonna have to take you there, man, because this is gonna be your new favorite brewery in California, I think.
You know what, don't set me up for such high hopes. I can't take it.
I mean, because the pizza is really, really good by itself. Like, that's enough of a reason to head out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the first beer I got was their barley wine. You know, it was 12%, so they served it in a smaller glass, of course. Get it, go back to the table, have it. I'm, you know, smelling it. It smells like, you know, the brewery. They're barley wines, and it tastes really good. It's a really solid barley wine. They have a stout, but they didn't have any on tap that day, so I ended up taking one for the team and trying their red. Mm-hmm. Their red is pretty good, actually. Like, I'm not a huge fan of reds or hoppy beers, and this is the hoppiest red I've ever had. It kind of sort of puts Packing House to shame. Like, Packing House is mellow and tame compared to this.
I just, you know what, you say things like that and I just want to stab you. I just can't, I don't, I just don't, I just can't accept your, can't accept you. I'll have to just try it out in December when I get back out there.
You know, the person I was with, they've been to Packing House and they've had their red, and they said it was much, they thought it was much better than Packing House's red as well. So it's not just my opinion, but some person that you have met once, their opinion might carry more weight than mine does. Because they have no horse in this team, so they have no reason to lie to you.
Probably not. I guess maybe they won't lie. We'll see.
Usually people like just take pity on you for being forced to hang out with me sometimes, and so they will take your side over mine, even if I've known them longer than you have. like for example, if you've only met them once.
Exactly.
But yeah, I when you're out here, even if I can't make the trek with you, I highly recommend you heading out to Lampo's Pizza off Main Street in Corona. It's pretty amazing.
All right, I'll have to check it out. I'll put it on my to-do list of things that I initially had good idea intention for, but I forget, and then I never do it until somebody reminds me, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that list.
Yeah, you're out here in December, and then it's January, and we're like, hey, oh, by the way, did you try Lampo's Pizza? And you're like, I knew that was something I avoided on purpose.
My bad. Things.
I'm sorry, but In-N-Out came up. I had to choose between In-N-Out and Lampo's.
Oh, exactly.
So, the last couple weeks, there's been a couple more incidents of online bullying coming to the front of the news world. And one of the cases is actually, I guess, humorous in a way.
Oh, boy.
He's basically, he was working with Call of Duty to help with their venturing into the world of esports. They actually have a competitive Call of Duty to try to compete with League of Legends and Overwatch and whatever else is out there, StarCraft, so that people can actually get paid to hear other people tell them how they had sex with their mom.
Fantastic.
And so, the first, I guess, I was reading into what was going on, and I guess he was accused of sleeping with another guy involved with the Call of Duty's girlfriend, and that got patched over. But then for some reason, this woman that he was texting back and forth with decided to take screen caps of their conversation and post those on the interwebs. And so he basically was being kink shamed because apparently he has a foot fetish. Which, it's like, it's 2017, man. Like,
who doesn't have a foot fetish?
Right? I mean, he's just being a bro. I mean, there's women out there that want their toes sucked, and not every man wants to do it. He's up for the team, man. Because some women are like, suck on my toes, and they're like, oh my god, that's gross. And he's like, I got that for you. I mean, he wasn't even caught with, like, inappropriate pictures of underage children, or he just likes the feet. And he's hoping to find a woman who likes men that like her feet.
True.
So basically, he was getting a bunch of tweets and different messages and stuff. And they, of course, the go-to now is doxing, where they release your personal information.
Yeah.
So he basically withdrew from the Call of Duty League, and he was supposed to be one of their broadcasters. Because he's British and has a British accent, so automatically he's a much more qualified than any American.
To be the announcer?
Yes, because he's got the accent. Maybe they're hoping to bring in some of the female market. It's like, yeah, I don't play Call of Duty. Yeah, but listen to his voice. Ooh, British accent. Got me.
Is that Doctor Who?
or is that Doctor Strange? Or is it Loki? I don't care. I'll just imagine. I'll insert my favorite British actor with his voice.
Yeah, you will.
So yeah, so he pulled out of the league and canceled his Twitter and basically cut off all other forms of online communication. But he did that for a while, but I guess he's hosting a fundraiser to give to an anti-bullying foundation. So I don't know if that's good to come out of this, but yeah, it just sucks that, you know, a man can't suck on a woman's toes without having to delete his Twitter in this day and age.
That is true. A little overkill on people getting crazy.
And then another one, an editor at Marvel, Heather Antos, she posted a picture with her and like four or five other women that work at Marvel enjoying milkshakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, the quote-unquote nice guys of the internet, you know, came out and, you know, between the, you know, hey, you're hot, we should have sex tweets and stuff, she got a lot of people questioning her credibility of working at Marvel by asking her if she is aware of who certain obscure characters are. Because I guess if she doesn't know a character that they named, she's not a real Marvel person and doesn't deserve to work there.
Wow.
Right. And, you know, you hear a lot of stories about, you know, women, especially going into brick and mortar stores and, you know, having played Magic for a little while. You know, the one thing that I noticed is that when women are doing something like that, at least Magic, for the most part, there's some guys that some of the guys are just like, whatever, I'll talk to you and treat you like anybody else because you're here to play and I'm here to play. But then mm-hmm. you get the cases where you have like the white knighters where they almost intentionally lose because they feel bad beating a girl in the game, which if I was a girl playing like Friday Night Magic and some guy basically drops the match because he didn't want to hurt my feelings or something, I guess I'd be okay with that. But after a while, I get a little frustrating. But then you get even the worst ones where, you know, they're sitting there, you know, basically vocalizing their opinion every time you play a card, you know, asking them if their boyfriend taught them how to play, where is their boyfriend at. So, you know, she got a bunch of, with this, she got a bunch of different people posting pictures of them, you know, with the hashtag support Heather, you know, drinking milkshakes. And the one miraculous thing that came out of this was DC, a bunch of the women from DC took a picture and did the hashtag and tagged Marvel in it and stuff. So maybe this might bring together some sort of a women peace between Marvel and DC, and they might have another crossover event since, you know, the whole reason they haven't worked together for a while is the men folk said some words and got their feelings hurt, and now they refuse to work with each other.
Yeah, they do. Goddamn sausage met people.
Right? I mean, you have a story like that where somebody said something, the other one got pissed, and now they won't talk to each other. And then the nerds have the nerve to talk about women being emotional and sensitive. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. It's full circle. It's always easier to blame than to self-analyze.
It's the circle of life. And the circle of calling other people snowflakes, even though you're the one that's been triggered.
I'm so triggered right now.
I'm not triggered, you're triggered.
Snowflake. Your mom's triggered.
And, you know, I was, like, reading some stuff and listening to another podcast, and somebody made a point, because I never really thought about this, is, you know, when somebody's making a point that you don't agree with, you can just call them Hitler. Oh my God, you are literally being Hitler right now. Because then it gives you a justifiable excuse to not interact with them anymore. Because why would you want to hear Hitler's opinions on gassing the Jews? He's a bad guy, right? Like, if you listen to Hitler, you're, you know, justifying his deeds. So if you call somebody Hitler, that automatically gives you permission to stop listening to them. Because they're the ultimate evil in the world.
Fair enough. Makes sense.
It does. So I might have to start using that next time one of my supervisors tells me what to do at work. You want me to go do that? Dude, you are literally being Hitler right now. I have no reason to communicate with you anymore.
I have no reason to communicate with you.
on a I guess happier, better note, you hit me up the other day asking me if I had watched an anime, or at least telling me to check it out.
I did, and I don't know if I appreciate you telling me that I fucked up the order of the series, but it was Samurai Brides, and I guess I was supposed to watch Samurai Girls first. But the anime Brides, and I don't know if I want to even talk about it, because I guess it'll be a huge spoiler, but basically it's this guy that's able to kiss girls, and then they become master samurai, because there's no more master samurais being born, and like there's this weird analogy that they have, that they have master samurai, and then they report to generals, quote unquote, that are like, and it's like generals like love them and blah blah blah, love their master samurai and the people that they, it's like that whole like leading with the heart versus an iron fist and whatnot, and crazy shit's going on, and then at the end, of course, like they saved the day. But it was really funny, and it was definitely entertaining to watch. I mean, it was entertaining enough to where I was able to get the full 12 episodes done in 2 days.
Right, I started with the first season, like a normal human being should, and actually got the origin story of how the first girl comes to, I guess, the show, because she's not on Earth, and so she shows up, and so at least in the beginning, I don't know if she changes, but in the beginning she is super like ditzy when she's not the samurai.
Yeah.
The super saiyan samurai.
Yep.
But to say this show is fan service is almost insulting fan service, because this, you know, the very beginning of the show, this guy shows up in the city and he goes to the dojo that's supposed to be empty, and he walks in on two ladies that are naked. And, you know, they go through the whole, like, you're being a pervert watching us, and they threaten to beat him up, and after everything settles down, you find out that one of the girls that was naked is 15, and you're like, oh, I think I'm on a list somewhere now.
You know, you're just kind of watching the front door, like, I'm
not even the front door, I'm just, like, looking at, like, the other room, expecting Chris Hansen to just be standing there. Oh, you already have a seat. Good. We need to talk.
You're just like, I don't think we need to talk, bro.
We shouldn't talk about this ever. But, you know, so far, they haven't established a true villain. They're still just setting up the characters, trying to, you know, because as of now, they've just discovered, quote-unquote, the second Master Samurai. Yeah, so if you're looking for an anime with fan service and sword fights, this is definitely a show for you. It's a lot like a reverse Data Live mixed with Rosario Vampire. You know, instead of kissing the girls to keep their powers in check, he has to kiss them to release their powers. And like Rosario Vampire, she's sweet and friendly until her powers are released. And then she basically becomes another person. She's not even just herself with samurai power. She's literally a different person who's more bloodthirsty and more murdery until the job is accomplished. And then she kind of passes out and goes to sleep for a little while, and then wakes up and doesn't remember anything other than doesn't remember anything. And she just goes back to being her naive, friendly self.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know too much about the other girls in the show, because like I said, they just unlocked the second one. But it's an interesting show, and the very first episode is very, like, the opening sequence is very serious and very, like, old-school Shogun Japanese, like, black and white. And after a couple episodes, it turns into the standard J-poppy Japanese anime intro. Because when I was first watching it, I was picturing something like Ninja Scroll, like very dark and foreboding and serious. And I was like, this doesn't seem like something Sean would recommend. And then the two naked girls, and I'm like, oh, this seems like something Sean would recommend. And one of them's 15.
Whoa.
I wonder if he's told Mike about this yet.
I don't think... See, they do the thing where it's like, that you just assume, like, she's naked as well. Like, it hurt. She's kind of censored. It's more of the actually adult ones are properly naked.
Right.
I don't think... I think you're giving a bad impression, Danny.
Or a good impression, depending on... you know, if we're not gonna... I guess, no shaming here. It's not like they're real 15-year-olds. I mean, they didn't have a problem. I mean, because if you're going to shame people for going after underage girls, you would have stopped playing Destiny with Mike a long time ago.
Oh, poor Mike. You say one girl looks cute and you're labeled a...
Well, it's not just a girl. It's somebody that we play Destinies with, much younger sister.
Yeah, it's a story that goes around at work. this engineer built all these like great, all these great bridges and all these amazing accomplishments. But you fuck one goat, and you're known as the goat fucker.
Exactly. You know, you build a bridge, no one calls you the bridge builder. You build that building, no one calls you a building builder. But you fuck one goat.
You're the goat fucker. Don't be the goat fucker.
Never. Never that.
Oh, good times.
So, this last weekend, I've, you know, been finally... Well, not just this last weekend, but over the last couple weeks, I've been trying to maintain my Netflix queue, because I'm over 40, so I still actually have DVDs delivered to my house.
Jesus Christ.
And there's a good reason for that. More on that in a little bit. But, for now, I ended up watching the movie Ghost in the Shell over the weekend.
The live action?
Yes, with ScarJo.
Ooh, with ScarJo. ScarJo! Yes. ScarJo!
But, you know, the lead up to that movie was just a lot of people were complaining that, you know, they cast a white actress in the role of a main character in a Japanese anime, which, looking at the pictures and stuff from the anime, she actually looked a lot like the character. And even the person that did the movie... The animated movie in like 95 came out and said that, yeah, there's no problem. She's a good actress. And, you know, they kind of, a lot of the media went to Japan to try to get Japanese outrage.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the people in Japan aren't as concerned about these issues because almost all the movies they watch out there have Japanese actors in them. So it's a little different than being an actor in the States when you're a Japanese actor or actress in the States trying to get a role in American movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I was reading an interview with like four different Japanese actresses and they're just picking the movie apart.
That should have been one of us. They're taking our jobs.
Some of the stuff they made points on, they weren't wrong. But, you know, one of the girls was talking about, you know, when it's out with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend was like, when she asked about, well, should that have been a Japanese actress? And her boyfriend's reply was, yeah, but a Japanese actress wouldn't have the same body as Scarlett Johansson. And so she was like basically mad at him because he's like body shaming Japanese women.
I don't know. That's not fair. I mean, there's definitely some nice looking Japanese girls out there. So I think that was more of just a bad joke.
And then, you know, like one of the people in Japan, they asked one of the guys and they asked what he thought. And he was like, well, you know, unless they strictly cast a Japanese woman in the role, it would be the same thing no matter what. Because, you know, it's like Hollywood probably would have gotten it wrong anyways and cast somebody from, you know, like Korea or, you know, China or something like that. And that would have been, you know, as somebody from Japan watching somebody who's, you know, Asian but not Japanese is the same as casting a white actress.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, there was a lot of complaints, you know, this last year about... different movies having, you know, the whole whitewashing where they have white actors and, you know, Asian roles, basically. And then another one they complain is the the white hero coming to save the day. And so, you know, a couple months ago, the one that they were complaining about was the movie The Great Wall.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually, like, basically it was an all-Asian cast except for a couple actors, directed by a Japanese actor, director, I mean. And I watched this movie, and I'm like, this one really makes sense to have Matt Damon and, you know, and the other guys in this role, because basically they're coming from Europe to go to – actually, it wasn't a Japanese. It was Chinese. So it was Chinese director, Chinese actors. Mm-hmm. But they – we're coming from Europe to basically go to China to steal gunpowder.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're there, they get caught up in this like mythological story that, you know, everybody in China knows. And so if everybody in China knows it, then there's no reason for them to tell the audience what it is. So it made sense that they would have to have somebody from the outside come in and say, like, so why is this happening? And why is that happening?
Yeah.
You know, because they need somebody there to ask the questions for the audience and to be the audience basically and have everything explained, or else there's no exposition.
No, not at all.
And he really just really didn't save the day. I mean, he was there and kind of participated, but for the most part, he was out for himself. So that actually wasn't that bad of a movie as far as
I did want to see that, know, one.
It's pretty good. The, you know, both movies, the special effects are pretty awesome. Ghost in the Shell, like a lot of the complaints about that was they took basically the surface stories from a bunch of, like, from the old school, from the anime, from the manga, and didn't really necessarily pick a cohesive story. They just kind of ghost picked or what they wanted to be in the movie. So there's a mix of, like, stories. So nothing's really fleshed out too deeply. But it's a really pretty movie to look at. And as someone who isn't super familiar with Ghost in the Shell,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And The Great Wall is worth a watch as well. But then the other one that people were complaining about is the Marvel movie Iron Fist. The Marvel, I guess, TV show, not movie. The one on Netflix where there's a white person that has the power of the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Which is a... And for that one, I mean, that one to me makes sense as someone who's read the comic. I don't know if anybody who's complaining has read the comic, because I know
they're complaining. Who even reads that comic, to be honest?
Well, that was back when I was like, you know, a Marvel zombie and would have to buy books because it was fit under the crossover. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, you would read some books and then the event happens and it's like, now you have to buy a couple issues of every book so yeah. that you know the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of the story in Iron Fist is that a lot of his villains and even some of the people that are on his side question all the time how he got the power and why he has it, because he's not Japanese. He shouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be kind of weird if there's somebody who's playing the role who is Japanese and somebody wants to fight them to take the power away from it because they're unworthy because they're not Japanese. And it's like, but they are Japanese. But so I don't know. A lot of people have said, you know, give it a bunch of bad reviews, so I don't know if that's a legit bad review or if they're just throwing shade because of the casting choices.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read any of the books for Iron Fist, so I literally have no idea, like, what the shade should be thrown at. I would just watch it and go, is it good or not?
Right, and that's kind of the same thing I went with Ghost in the Shell, is I didn't know what the shade was, I just knew that the special effects looked really cool, and there's a couple good actors in it that I wanted to see.
That's fair. It's a fair start.
And another movie I watched finally is Kong.
The giant monkey. He's finally back in Danny's heart.
You know what? They learned their lesson from all like the previous movies of Universal, like when they did the first Hulk and people were pissed because Hulk didn't show up for like an hour into the movie.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the Godzilla movies where you're watching the movie and Matthew Broderick's running around on screen forever and then finally Godzilla shows up.
Yeah.
And it's like, I didn't think the movie was called Matthew Broderick. I thought it was called Godzilla. Like this one, like you don't even get the opening credits scenes and you already see Kong. So they're already like leaps and bounds above previous movies of this ilk from that studio.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the people that they have doing the new Godzilla and Kong series, like, those studios are doing such a good those teams are doing such a good job. And I mean, I can't wait to see the new Godzilla and eventually see the team up.
Right. I mean, this movie is seemingly the Iron Man in the in the Kong, Godzilla, Mothra, Gamera universe.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen the movie, if you haven't seen the movie, it's too bad because I've seen it and I waited a long time.
I've seen it already. Yeah, but yeah.
Right. So basically there's an ending sequence where they show signs of all the other monsters that Godzilla and or King Kong have fought.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually kind of exciting. But this movie suffers from one problem for me, at least. I don't know if I'm the only one. I can't imagine me being the only person that does this. And Ghost in the Shell is another one that suffered from the same thing. But when any actor or actress that's been in the Marvel movies as a major character,
mm-hmm.
especially when there's multiples of them, that's all I think about. So, like, Kong was a movie where Captain Marvel, Loki, and Nick Fury team up to fight a giant monkey.
Oh, man.
You know, and then this weekend...
That's funny.
Another movie's coming out where Deadpool is hired to protect Nick Fury as he's getting ready to testify on trial.
I did not know that, I didn't realize what's-his-name took a date, actually was going to do serious movies. I thought he just was overcommitted to Deadpool now.
Oh, no, it's not a serious movie. It's a comedy action movie. It's a, like, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, boy.
Except they're hitmen instead of cops.
Nice.
And I'm fairly positive, at least not in the credits, the trailer, I mean, that Samuel L. Jackson at no point says that he's too old for that shit. So, I mean, that's a good sign already that the movie might not suck. But, yeah, so when I see a movie that has multiple actors or actresses that are in comic book movies, that's all my mind goes to is, oh, these characters are in this movie either teaming up or fighting each other.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that with them being very popular and now, like, definitely in front of a lot of the things, like, that you could definitely say, that's something that's going on.
Especially Samuel Jackson, because he's was in Kong, and he's in the Hitman's Bodyguard that's coming out this weekend, and he's, you know, I think they did a thing where he was the most profitable actor of all time because he's just been in so many movies.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to, you know, Die Hard and even before that. So he's like 5 movies a year or something like that on average, or some crazy number that he's been in since he started acting, or at least since Die Hard came out.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Makes sense.
And so, you know, earlier I mentioned that I still get the DVDs from Netflix, and part of the reason why is, you know, basically Netflix signs contracts with different studios to have what's going to be on for streaming. So was it last year or the year before they announced a big mega deal with Disney that all Disney movies minus a couple were going to be on Netflix, and those ones were on Hulu. And so Disney announced that they're taking their option to leave the contract early because they're going to start their own streaming network in 2018.
That's so ballsy, but I mean, I think Disney at this point owns so much that, I mean, you can't blame them for doing their own streaming service. I mean, think about, like, all the Disney movies that they could just set out there, like, for a limited time, for the summer, you could watch this Disney classic and whatnot, so.
Right, between the classic animation, the live-action remakes, Star Wars, Marvel, you have whatever, I mean, and if they do this, then they can pull ABC and all the ABC family shows, and even ESPN on this streaming service.
ESPN?
Yep.
Well, Disney owns ESPN?
Yes, they do.
I did not even know that. Jesus.
Yeah, they've owned them for years, so... And there's a few other networks that they own. I mean, you have all the Disney Channel, obviously. I'm assuming they own the Disney Channel, or somebody's really ballsy and has been getting away with it for years. illegally streaming Disney shows on cable.
Nice. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
So if you, it's getting to the point now where it might just be cheaper to have cable if you want to, because, you know, you're going to have Hulu, you're going to have Amazon, you're going to have Netflix, and now you're going to have, you know, HBO Go to get those shows, and now Disney Go or whatever the streaming service they're going to be doing is called.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to call that one. Should be pretty interesting, though. I mean, I bet there'll definitely be people jumping on the bandwagon, though.
Yeah, I think it'll just be called Give Us Your Money.
Give us the money now.
But, you know, it's not all doom and gloom for Netflix. They did sign Mark Millar to a deal for his Millar World of comics.
Okay. All right. We could definitely see what he does.
Which is cool until you realize that doesn't include, like, the three best comic series that he's written, or at least the most popular. Old Man Logan, Kingsman, and Kick-Ass, because all those rights belong to somebody else.
I guess we're just fucked then. Netflix lost out.
But there's actually some pretty cool ones. There's like one that's called Huck that he wrote, where this, basically it's a guy that has the powers of Superman, but lives in a small town and doesn't want, he just does stuff in a small town, he works at a gas station and just kind of wants to help people, but doesn't want to get the popularity, and somehow a reporter finds out and kind of outs him. And, you know, there's a bunch of other books. There's, you know, there's no shortage of books. He's actually pretty prolific in his stories, because basically when he writes a book, it's about 6 or 7 books in the series. So it's not like he's doing anything ongoing where it's up to, you know, issue 70 and then he has to go start a new book.
Yeah.
Like Greg Rucka or Jason Aaron or Scott Snyder or any of those guys. He was pretty smart at, you know, making his own, basically owning all of his properties and doing his own company with Millar World. So it's paying off, because Netflix obviously threw a bunch of money at him and he said, hells yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. At least we'll get some new original content versus some other BS, just overly filtered.
Right, and I guess that's would have to be the selling point for Netflix, is not just the Millar World, but, you know, yeah, we're losing Disney, but look at all the original series and movies and programs that we have that Disney isn't going to be able to offer you. Please stay with us and give us your money.
Exactly. I'm sure for most people, they will just add it on. So.
Right, but, you know, you figure, what, $10 a month for Netflix, $10 or $15 a month for Disney, what was it, $15 a month for HBO?
True.
See, and then you got Hulu and VRV.
This is what you have to do. You actually have to make friends, and then you get 4 friends, and then all of you buy one, and then you share the account across the 4 ways.
That seems like way too much work making friends. I think I'll just pay that. I think it's just easier to pay the money.
Just pay the $40 a month to have all the streaming services to avoid them.
Exactly. Then, you know, if you want to watch a show and then they start watching it and it just throws off the order, so, or if you're watching HBO and it's, you know, you want to watch some softcore cable porn, then they click on and it's like, since you're interested in softcore cable porn, here's more softcore cable porn. Now they're trying to figure out who put that on their account, because their mom also watches on there too.
Oh boy. Because you watched Boobs and Dragons. Watch this.
See, that's society acceptable softcore porn, because it's, you know, based on,
it's a story and off a book.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's based on a book that only nerds read. So it must be smart and intelligent television.
Exactly. Oh, all right, Danny. It was definitely fun to hang out with you this afternoon. It was nice hanging out with everybody. Hope you guys again hit us up on iTunes, Podbean, the Facebook, and whatnot. And we will talk to you to another time. Danny, as always, it was a good one.
It was fun. Everybody, see you next week.